Welcome back. When we left off, we were talking about Heinrich Schliemann and his excavations at Hissarlik, the place that he thought was Troy. Now, at both Hissarlik and at Mycenae, he found amazing things. He found enormous fortified cities with giant walls, and he found, perhaps more impressively, gold trinkets. And the problem was this, was the following. Heinrich Schliemann, by using this process of stratigraphy, was able to figure out that the stuff that he was digging up wasn't in the layer that most archaeologists would have considered Greek. In fact, it was quite a bit older, 700, 800, 900 years older than what most people thought of at the time as being Greek. So what was it? In order to answer this question, we're going to have to take a roundabout journey into the fields of oral culture and linguistics. Let's start with oral culture. Oral culture is traditional culture that is passed down through stories and songs, any kind of nursery rhyme you learned as a child, playground songs that you heard. This is a kind of oral culture. In other parts of the world, oral culture is a vital part of the body of literature of that civilization. And a man named Milman Perry was really interested in this in the 1930s. So he traveled to Yugoslavia, where he did field recordings of men called bards who were performing recitations, poems. And they did all this off the top of their head, with nothing written down. They also did it to musical accompaniment. And he was baffled when he did the recordings because there was a recording that went on for over 30 hours of one poem being recited to musical accompaniment. How could these bards do this without having memorized every single word? Or how could they memorize every single word is a better question. And here's what he discovered. Bards were able to do this through the use of a few tricks. The first is that the meter that bards sang in affected the words they chose when they were doing the reading. What's a meter? A meter is like a rhythm or a time signature for a poem. And as it turns out, by comparing the bards he studied in Yugoslavia with Homer, Milman Perry was able to decide the following, that Homer's Odyssey and Iliad were actually a product of oral culture. They weren't written down, per se, but they were sung to a meter or a rhythm, and only later recorded. So the meter of Homer's Iliad and the Odyssey is this. It's called dactylic hexameter. If I were to tap it out, it would sound like this. And it turns out that poetry that is sung in this kind of meter sounds a certain way. Here's what Homeric Greek sounds like to this meter. Menenaiade te apeliadeo acheleos ulomene chemuri achaios alge eteke volas diptumius ipsus aide proaipsen heroen autus de loria tu kekunesen oion noisi te passi dios telie tobule ex huhu de ta prota diestete resante atreides te anax andron kai dios acheleos. You can hear right there that there's kind of a sing-songy quality to this. Milman Perry combined his knowledge and understanding of meter with a couple of other tricks he picked up from the bards. One of them was this, epithets. These are descriptive terms for a person or place that fit the rhythm and can be plugged in according to what the bard needs. You'll notice when you're reading Homer that whenever a certain character is mentioned, a little phrase will follow that person's name. Then Achilles, the great runner. Then Agamemnon, the warlord. So forth and so on. And these help fill up the space in the lines so that as the bard is trying to think of the next thing he's going to say, he can plug in a descriptive term for a person or a place. There's a second, more extended version of this called a stock phrase. And this is a descriptive phrase that describes an action that fits the meter and can be plugged in according to what the bard needs as well. One of the ones that comes up in the Iliad and the Odyssey is, after the prayers and the strewing of the barley, they slaughtered and flayed the oxen, joined the thigh bones, and wrapped them in a layer of fat with cuts of meat on top. This is a description of an animal sacrifice. And while the bard is kind of going into autopilot as he's reciting this aloud, he can be thinking of the next part of the story. So Milman Perry, through his study of bards in Yugoslavia, was able to apply what he learned in the Odyssey and the Iliad and show, demonstrate without a doubt, that these poems, the one you'll be reading for this week, is actually a product of oral culture and not something that was written down. There's no 8th century copy of the Odyssey running around. It wasn't put down until later. What does it have to do with archaeology? And what does that have to do with the thing I was trying to tell you earlier about Heinrich Schliemann? I'm getting there, I promise. In order to answer that question, we have to talk about linguistics. One of the things that got found at Mycenaean digs, these are digs on fortified cities that look a lot like Troy, look a lot like Mycenae in Greece, were these tablets. And in fact, this one was found at Knossos in Crete. Comes from the same datable range as the Mycenae and the Troy digs. So you could place it around the same time. The characters that were found on this tablet were something called Mycenaean Linear B. For the longest time, scholars had no idea what these characters signified. However, in 1952, an architecture student in Chicago named Michael Ventris decoded Mycenaean Linear B and discovered, to everyone's amazement, that it was actually a form of Greek. So if writing on tablets that was just as old as the digs at Mycenae and Hisarlik could be demonstrated to be Greek, this shifted things around a bit. This meant that the stories shown in Homer described things that were real and actually Bronze Age. They were describing a Bronze Age Greece, that is, that was much older than archaeologists had previously thought it to be. And people who were living in those places spoke a form of Greek. They were Greek. And this extended things backwards by quite a bit. And it meant that Homer's connection with the Bronze Age past was much closer than we thought. Was Homer then inventing stories from the air? Or was he simply passing down another oral tradition that was actually much, much older? It's hard to say. I think it's fair to say, though, that the stories that Homer was telling in his Iliad and his Odyssey were probably pretty old by the time he told them, too. So what is his connection with the mythological past? His connection is this, that Homer could be describing places and people, or at least places, that actually existed and were real. And suddenly, Heinrich Schliemann's take on the Iliad and the Odyssey didn't seem quite so ridiculous. I'm not trying to tell you that the Iliad or the Odyssey are factually true, or there's a cyclops running around in a cave somewhere in the Mediterranean, but I am trying to tell you that the connection of myth with historical past is sometimes a little closer than you might think. Stay tuned for my next lectures on archaic Greece and what the citizen owes society.